Wayne. Well, amen. I appreciate Brother Wayne doing the commercial for me. That is good. But it is, a friend of mine wrote a book. I'm trying to help him out. Trying to encourage an author, a good biblical author is really the idea. And so we've got this in our library, but you can also get it on Amazon. So if you're watching online, you want to get one, get one on Amazon. Words of Wisdom, Nathan Brynick. It will be a help. It'll keep you busy for at least 21 days, and I think you could actually stretch it out. There's quite a lot in there. It's good stuff. All right, Titus chapter number 2 is where we're going to be, and we're working on this section of text here as Paul is, he's kind of given Titus the admonition to start these, or to organize these churches, I should say, put in leadership, and then start building upon the foundation. We know the foundation being Christ. These first 8 verses just kind of entitling the testimony becoming of Christ, meaning our testimony needs to be one that lifts up or builds up the name of Christ. And what he's doing is he's speaking to various people groups within the church. And the way I've kind of likened it to is like we're building a church, right? He's organized us, given us leadership. We're building a church, and then we're putting the building blocks on top of the foundation. So think of it like a pyramid. And of course, Christ being the cornerstone, he's the foundation, right? 1 Corinthians 3 says, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Christ is the foundation, the beginning. He's everything to the church. We are now, as Titus is organizing the church, he's building upon the foundation. So I said, maybe the first row of bricks above the Lord there, not above, but on top of the foundation, would be the aged men, right? Verse number 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Well, as we now add some bricks on top of there, and we're just building a church, because it is, just think about how important the aged, and I know that's a weird way to say it, right? We would say the older, but it seems like aged is a little more respectful. But how important are the aged in our church, right? The pillars, those who've been, people who've been knowing the Lord and serving the Lord and loving the Lord before I was born, I love them. They're such a help. But understand this, we're not just talking specifically necessarily about age, as we are also just maturity. We could just say it this way. I thought about titling these first couple, Grow Up, right? Because there's no reason why we couldn't be the aged. I know maturity, a lot of it does come with years. But you can be 80 years old and still very immature in the Lord, right? It can happen. And so I'm just trying to make that, or try to say that right. But as we build a church, I mean, I'm so thankful for the youth in our church, right here. I'm thankful for families who are like in the family struggle, right? They're in that age group. I'm thankful for those a little further along. I'm thankful for the youth. But I'm just telling you, we can't do it without the aged. It's so important. And I kind of spent some time on this last week about our society is kind of casting off the aged. And that's not how it ought to be. We ought to endear and appreciate the aged among us. Okay, so we're going to add the next layer of blocks today. And I'm going to preach toward the women tonight. Last week I was not nervous talking about the aged men, because if I offend Brother Rob or Brother Wayne, I don't think either one of them cares. Not that I would need to point them out in that category or anything like that. But I tell you, there's a little more trepidation when you start talking about the aged women, because I don't want to get in trouble. But that's where we're at. Verse 3, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. So tonight, I'm telling you, men, don't turn me off. I could preach all these principles right at the men using other texts. But what Paul is doing is he's giving Titus instructions. And last week, he zoomed in on some things that men deal with, like that we need instruction on. Well, tonight in verse 3, he's zooming in on some things that It's not that men are exempt. It's just that these are things that ladies tend to have some more struggles with. And so, again, that's the purpose. But we can all, these things are, it's kind of like those pastoral qualifications. There's none of them you can exempt yourself from. And so, guys, we can't exempt ourselves from these either. And so, but I will be careful about, you know, using the word aged among ladies. There was one lady that was really upset about, you know, she's getting older and she's kind of having trouble coming to terms with, you know, her age. And she said to one of her friends, I don't look 40, do I? And her friend goes, no, you used to. So we're going to get right into this tonight. The aged women. All right, let's pray. Ask God to help us. We need his help, don't we? Father, we do pray that you'd meet with us this evening. Lord, we need your help to, I need your help to preach the word. And Lord, we need help receiving it. We pray that you would do the work, that your word would speak and do what it does, and your spirit would do what he does. And we just pray for a great service here. Well, thank you for it all, Lord, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. So we won't get upset about that term, aged. It's just, the Bible teaches us much wisdom comes from age, and we ought to respect it. And again, tonight we're going to talk about the aged woman. And so I want to speak to you a little bit about the importance of women in the church. I mean, God made Adam. If you remember, it was like the next thing he said was, you know, it's not good that man should be alone. I don't know how long passed right there, but and it's not that anything occurred to God. Nothing's ever occurred to God. But as you read it, you go, you kind of think, okay, yeah, he's not going to be all right by himself for very long. And he brought along his helpmeet, Eve. And since then, it's been, of course, there's roles, and we've discussed the roles. Men are to lead in the church, men are to be pastors, men are to lead at home. We understand all those things. We have our roles, but both are extremely important. I honestly couldn't imagine a church without the ladies. I don't want to be a part of a church without ladies. There's just so much that you ladies bring to the table that us men don't. And so vitally important to the church, both in stability, outreach, and love, and prayer. I'm telling you, the ladies are super, super important. And as we look around our world today, it's pretty obvious that our young ladies need help, right? Our young ladies need role models. They need examples. They need to know how to live, because the world is trying to teach the young ladies how to live, and it's messing it up real bad. The world has got a lot of things wrong concerning the young ladies, like how to, what is true beauty and how to maintain purity, and how about this, how to value themselves. What's really happening in our world today is the young ladies are devalued to a point to where they give away things they ought not to give away. And so they need some role models. They need some examples. And let me say this. I can preach all day long to ladies and principals regarding ladies, but I cannot have the impact that you can have, the aged ladies, right? The aged women. I can't have the impact. I have two daughters of my own. I can't. I'm telling you, men and women, we think differently. We do. We process differently. We think differently. We come to different conclusions. We have different perspectives. And yes, I can kind of tell my daughters right and wrong. I couldn't imagine doing it without my wife and her pouring into them and that sort of a thing. So the whole point of this passage is telling Titus, you're going to have some young ladies in your church and you're going to be scared of them and not know how to deal with them. So you need some aged women who will help you to nurture them and bring them along and teach them how they ought to live. Okay, so some characteristics for the ladies. All right, first of all, he says this, that the aged women, and here's the word, likewise. So like I said yet last week, we don't get out of anything. I mean, Paul's always real careful to dot all the I's and cross the T's and make sure we don't get out of anything. So he's saying this, everything I just told you for the men, ladies, likewise, you ought to do that, right? And so the things we talked about last week regarding the men, that they be sober. He's going to mention that again in this text, but free from intoxicants. And I try to expand on that. He's yes, obviously alcohol is part of that that what he's talking about, but that is just the first thing. It's not even all of it. anything that alters the thinking or changes the thinking or skews the thinking would be an intoxicant. And I just also want you to note, well, I'll save that thought for just a second. Sorry. But a lady also ought to be sober. The next word we looked at, verse number two there, grave. Grave just means to be serious-minded. So we all like to joke around, have a good time, but there's a time when we deal with real things that we've got to be serious. We just got to be serious. And there's things especially that, the next lesson is about the younger generation. And listen, they're kind of in those pivotal years when they're making extremely important decisions. And you can't laugh at all that stuff off. Things have to be dealt with and things have to be taught correctly. And everything can't be a joke. Sometimes you gotta be able to think seriously. So he says sober, grave, temperate, which the word temperate there means having spiritual common sense. Just being able to look at something and go, yep, okay, God's that would be right or that would be wrong. And I was kind of trying to make that point that you don't have to have a Bible verse for everything. There probably is a Bible verse for everything, but you don't have to have a Bible verse for everything. There's sometimes where you're just going along in life and you look at something and you're like, I don't know the book, chapter, and verse, but that's wrong. I'm going to stay away from that, etc. So good common sense. Sound in faith. Again, we talked about being doctrinally sound. Sound in charity, known for love and good works. Sound in patience, willing to wait on God's timing. So he's saying all those things a preacher preached last week, ladies, likewise. But then he goes on. He says this, likewise, verse 3, sorry, I almost read the wrong. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior. So we're going to look at a couple words. The word behavior, as becometh holiness. Now, we've already established in the word becometh is in this text and several others that we've been looking at here recently. It means to emulate or lift up something, to do something justice, you might say, or to live in a way that exemplifies. And here, the idea is that it would exemplify holiness. Now, Peter tells us all, not just ladies, but all of us, be ye holy, for I am holy. And he tells us that we're to be holy in all manner of conversation. So like our lifestyle, how we carry ourselves. And when you think of the word holy, you think of like that like choral music, you know, the choir music and the halo above the head and holding a candle or what, I don't know how you think about it, but it just means this. We actually just sang about being consecrated to God. It means consecrated. It means set apart. It means other, the word literally translates other than. So it means to separate off something just for the Lord. So holiness, for example, in the Old Testament, there was some oil that that they would only use to light the candle. It was the Lord. So it was separated off. It was holy. It was made a different or set apart. And he's telling us we ought to be set apart for the purpose of God. Holiness is that I would be ready to be used of God at any time. I'm not available to the world because I'm set apart. I'm other than, I'm holy. And of course, in all manner of conversation, of course, we can go into all these details about what holiness looks like. So that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. So a lady's behavior, and again, I'm speaking to the aged, the young, they're coming up, you know, next couple of verses. But to the aged woman, their behavior ought to lift up or exemplify holiness. Okay? But the word behavior is interesting. It means the demeanor or the deportment or the bearing. One commentator, I believe it's John Phillips, describes this word, behavior, as meaning the way a woman moves, the look on her face. Did you know a woman can say a lot? I'm going to get in trouble. I can already tell you. I feel that I'm going to get in trouble. I'm just going to look this way for a minute. No, I'm just kidding. A woman can say a lot by the look on her face. Did you know that? Of course, I mean, a guy can too, but let's just be honest. That's more of a lady thing. I'll never forget that episode of, what's that, Tool Time show? What's that? Where they're all dodging the look. You know, I don't know. It may not be a good show to watch anymore. I don't know. But anyway, the look on the face, right? The way a woman moves, the look on her face, what she says, the things that come out of her mouth or leaves unsaid, her habitual attitude of mind and body are all included in behavior, the way a woman moves and carries herself, the way she speaks, and she can either display holiness, set apartness, I'm the Lord's, or she can display something else. If you need an example, just get out the book of Proverbs and compare the strange woman to the Proverbs 31 woman, right? One is seductive and sinful. The other is set apart and godly, right? There's a big contrast there. You can take Jezebel and her character and how she is, and Abigail, right? Two characters that you can put on different sides of the spectrum. And so a lady, just in her behavior, the way she moves, the look on her face, the things that she says, her attitude, how she carries herself, can display one or the other. And it's interesting, and I hope in 2026 I'm not proven wrong, but I've always thought this is a trait that women have that men don't. A woman can act seductively, can have a seductive walk, can use her eyes in a manner that's seductive, and a man can't. I mean, I'm hoping I'm right. I know there's some trying these days, but it's just ridiculous that a man would have a seductive walk. No, we walk like cavemen, right? That our backs hurt and we walk like cavemen. But I'm trying to illustrate a point here. I'm trying to illustrate a point. A woman can literally just change the way that she moves and go from modesty to immodest without changing a single garment or anything. You know, is anyone picking up what I'm picking up? You can change the way you do your eyeliner and the way you, I don't know how you ladies do that stuff with your eyes, but y'all can do that. And you can display holiness and modesty, or you can cross over into something else. So that's what he's getting at here. And I'm telling you this, young ladies have trouble in these areas, and they need help from the aged to show them the right way. Let's take our Bibles, just turn backwards to 1 Timothy. And because, you know, Paul's giving these same instructions to Timothy, to Titus. And in Timothy, we have this idea of modesty. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look back there with me. The point being, the aged woman will carry herself in a way that glorifies God and exemplifies or lifts up or becometh holiness. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Did I tell you 2 Timothy? It's 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2. So I just looked in my Bible. It was not there. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9. Notice it says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety." So notice, you got clothing, you've got the look on the face, and you got the attitude. You see that? Modest apparel, shamefacedness, and sobriety. There's three things there. Then he goes on, "Not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness." So same subject matter here. "But with good works." Okay, so the idea of modesty here is that we're, and put it all together, modesty is, I'm not drawing attention to myself. I'm covered. I'm not drawing attention to myself. And there's a lot of ways that a woman can attract attention to herself or draw the eye. Like I said, even just changing the way that she walks or the attitude that she carries herself or the way that her eyes are, or even the clothing that she wears, or according to the text, how she does her hair, or the jewelry that she has, or the costly array. Again, Proverbs, Google means look up, but I'm not encouraging you to Google. Just go to Proverbs and look up the strange woman and how she dresses, how she acts, her attitude. Again, that's not modesty. Modesty is the idea of covering up, not drawing attention to oneself. And so the aged woman will be not just modest in dress, although she will be, but she'll be in attitude and demeanor will also be modest. Again, young ladies need help with this. They need help. They need someone to help them. And listen, as a man, I have a lot of trouble teaching young ladies how to do that. That's a woman thing. And so you have to be the teachers there. Okay, so back to our text here, Titus chapter number 2. Carry yourself, be in behavior. That's the whole point. The word behavior is what I'm trying to work on. Be in behavior, what you wear, what you do, what your attitude is, how you do all that, as becometh holiness. The next admonition is this: not false accusers. Now these messages are like those shotgun messages where you have two or three different points. This one, super important: not false accusers. So I think we could assume the aged woman, we're talking about a spiritually mature woman, would be a woman of honesty, integrity. Could we just assume that? If you're not honest or have integrity, then it's tough to be a spiritually mature woman. I don't think those things go together. But these words here are striking. Not false accusers. So this is not just someone who's lying, but someone who's falsely accusing. And what's really interesting, and you'll want to write this down, the word used here, the Greek word for false accuser, is this word, diabolos. Diabolos, which is we get our word diabolical. The word occurs 38 times in the New Testament and is usually translated to the English word devils. False accusers. Why would the false accuser be, why would that be synonymous with devils? Well, don't you remember that Satan is the accuser of the brethren? That's like his whole thing. He's an accuser. Jesus says he's a liar from the beginning. He's a liar and he's a father of it. That's the devil. That's who he is. He's a liar. He's an accuser. He's a false accuser. So again, the word used, false accuser, it's a striking word. You don't want to be found in that category, right? Could we just agree there? Man, I don't want something to describe my life that in another place in the Bible is describing Judas Iscariot, which is one of the places that diabolos is used to describe Judas when he betrayed Jesus, a false accuser. So what we're talking about is not just lying. Lying's bad. We shouldn't lie. That's in the Bible. There's all kinds of scriptures for that. You know what we're talking about here? Gossip. That's what we're talking about, gossip. You see, so again, I'm going to sneak out the back door after I preach, okay? I'm just going to go out this side door and just jump right off. Won't even use the steps. This is something that ladies tend to struggle with. Just gossip, talking. Diabolos. it's tough. But the word implies accusation that comes from the devil. 1 Timothy, go back there. 1 Timothy, let me just let the Bible talk a little bit. Maybe that'll keep me out of hot water. As a preacher, you kind of just learn to be in hot water and it's okay. It's just the truth. You know, just the truth. There's things men struggle with that we're embarrassed that we struggle with. And by the way, men can be quite the gossip as well. We're not immune to it. That's for sure. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11. It's just our thing is we're usually talking about something with a motor, you know, and so some of that doesn't come up. But 1 Timothy 5, and let's look at verse 11. Look what the instruction here is. Again, Paul's kind of giving similar instructions here. 1 Timothy 5:11, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle. Idleness is never good, by the way. Just like we in Sunday school, we're talking about our mind thinking. And basically, to have an idle mind is dangerous. Okay, idleness is never good. They learn to be idle. Again, he's talking to about the younger, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but here's what they are busy with: being tattlers and also also in busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women, and I know this is an admonition to younger women, marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion. He's basically saying this, younger ladies, just stop talking and keep your head down, right? Do what you're supposed to do, but don't be tattletales. Don't wander from house to house. Why? Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some already turned aside after Satan. Gossip. And again, gossip is a young lady's thing. What I mean is, as you get older and as you age, I tell you what, if a young lady's gossiping, you'd almost expect it. Not that it's good or right, but you'd almost expect it. But an aged woman should be one who squelches the gossip. It should just end with her. Well, it's not happening around me. And you know, I know ladies like that. And you wouldn't dare keep talking after they told you to hush, you know. Do y'all say hush up here? Zip it? What do y'all say? I don't know. Shut up? I don't know. Okay, good enough. But I'm just telling you, I'm telling you right now, one of the most destructive things in the local church is the aged women that gossip. It's one of the most destructive. You want to take a cannonball to the Lord's church, that's a good way to do it. Because it's so destructive. It destroys the harmony. In fact, one commentator said, and I quote, "Nothing could be more destructive of the harmony in a local church than a few older women hurling slanderous remarks against various people within the fellowship." Again, it ought to be a younger woman's thing. It ought not to be any woman's thing, but at some point we got to grow up and grow past the gossip. And so how do you fight gossip? Well, it has to end. It's one of those things where it just has to end with you. You can't stop it. I mean, you can't stop everyone else from doing whatever they're going to do. But I'm just telling you, if all the ladies of our church decided, well, if I hear of it, it's going to end with me, it wouldn't go very far. And then those that gossip would learn to go find someone else to talk to. So many churches have been hurt. So many people have been hurt from gossip. And you know, gossip implies, I mean, we're not even worried about if it's true or untrue. It's most of the time untrue. But a lot of things that are even true really ought not to be said or talked about, because it's usually none of our business. Sorry, that's a phrase me and my wife say. It's none of our Benghazi. But it's usually none of our business, right? And how am I helping the situation by talking about it to other people who it's not their business either? I'm not helping. I'm just making the wildfire bigger. That's all I'm doing. But most of the time, it's just false. I can't count on both hands anymore how much false gossip has been said about me. And I'm not complaining. I'm not. There was a time I could count it on one hand and then two hands. And now I can't use two hands. I got to get my shoes off to count it. And you say, how does that start? I don't know. The devil? Diabolos? I don't know. What I can tell you is it wasn't ever true. It just was. It was either a twisted truth or something false altogether. So again, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it happens, and it shouldn't. It happens, and a lot of people have been hurt by it. I usually just laugh because I've learned something that I didn't know before, so I just move on. Again, let me just be clear. We're not dealing with a problem today. In here, I don't believe there's any rumors about me going around. Usually I think, why do people care about me? Like, if you can only find, like, if you're only talking about me, you need a life. You need something to do. That's how I usually feel about it. But to my knowledge, no one's doing that right now. I'm talking about past stuff. But you've probably had some rumor flying about you before that wasn't right, wasn't true. Maybe it was a partial truth. Maybe it was a lie altogether. And it helped so much, didn't it? Amen. All right. So let's just quit that. Okay, ladies, struggling with gossip, it's got to stop with you. You've got to be the doorkeeper of that. Okay, so not false accusers, Then here's one, not given to wine. Not given to much wine, actually, which the idea of sobriety, again, is portrayed. Free from intoxicants. It's the same principle. And what's so crazy, it's not crazy, but what's so interesting here, notice this, every group he talks to, verse 2, the aged men be sober. Verse 2, verse 3, the aged men likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That again, this idea of being not given to much wine. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Verse 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. So many Christians are like, these days, are fighting for their right to drink alcohol, and I don't understand it. I just don't, like, why? If it's in every other verse in your Bible, maybe just get the hint. God doesn't like it. Why would I, oh, I'm just going to drink a little. You're taking part in something that has literally destroyed millions, if not billions, of lives. Like, it's, you ought to just stay a million miles away from it and be good with that. It's one of those things where if it's over and over and over in the Bible, we got to start getting the hint. And if anyone ought to know that, it's the aged woman, right? Again, why? Well, because we're supposed to be teachers of the younger generation. The Bible does still say, abstain from all appearance of evil. Why does it? Oh, I don't care what people think about me. You should, because they're looking at you and they're judging our Savior based upon what they're seeing in you. So this all, I don't care what people think, I'm going to do what I want. Okay, you're going to drag Jesus right through the mud with your poor testimony. So stop saying, I don't care what people think about me. You should care what they think, and you should hope that your testimony becomes holiness, becomes Christ. So let's just put it away. Again, older man, older lady, younger man, younger lady, all told, sober. Sober. Lastly, teachers of good things. The aged woman is to be a teacher. I started thinking about all the ladies that have, in my life, that have taught me when I was in Sunday school and junior church and dealt with all my nonsense when I was young. I still have nonsense now. It's just I have a wife that deals with it instead of ladies at the church. But I remember ladies who have cut out flannel graph and put crafts together and taught me. I mean, I'm telling you, I listened to the preacher 3 times a week when I was growing up. But every single Sunday, I was in a class where somebody, some lady was teaching me. It wasn't until I was in junior high until I had a man actually teaching our class. And I'm just telling you, those ladies that poured into me, they're going to have fruit in heaven for the fact that I got saved. They were the ones that laid that foundation and taught me the truth about Jesus early in my life. And as I think today about our church, I'm so grateful for our ladies and what they do. I'm telling you, every time I see one of those ladies come out of the nursery looking about half frazzled, I'm so thankful for you. I really am. I'm telling you, us guys couldn't do that in there. Either us or the kids wouldn't survive. Either way, it wouldn't be good. But then the teachers we have and just all that goes on, we're very, very grateful for it. The point here is what's kind of just I like to point out about this verse. Teachers of good things. The verse doesn't say, go be a teacher. It implies you're already teaching. The subject is, what are you teaching? Teachers of good things. So ladies, what are you teaching? Oh, I'm not teaching. No, you are. You're teaching. Someone's watching. Someone's following. The young ladies are looking to you because they can't look to me to figure out how to be a mature lady. They're looking to you. What are you teaching? Good things? Is it behavior that becometh holiness? Is it a mouth that pleases God and doesn't participate in gossip? Is it sober mind and sober thinking? Are you a teacher of good things? Okay, we'll stop right there tonight. And next week, we're going to look at the next generation.